This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show.
This is Brightside Home Theater.
Home theater nerds, welcome to the Brightside Home Theater Podcast, the podcast that's all about the sights, the sounds, the scenes. And this week, we're about the sounds. Sorry to everybody that listens to my Brightside Chat podcast with my buddy John. I did an old switcheroo on you. If you heard that, you're expecting to hear about Kick-Ass. And, well, my ADD kicked in. I'll tell you a quick little story. I came home from work today expecting to sit down and go through my notes and talk about Kick-Ass. And nobody was home, so I was hanging out with the dogs for a few minutes and watching Disney's Gallery, the Star Wars The Mandalorian, the making of Season 2 finale. And Jon Favreau hit me right here in the chest, hit me in the heart. Right in the middle of it, he does this. He talks about making this episode, and we're going to play the clip in a minute that he's talking about. But he's talking about how they added the sound and from the original, from A New Hope. And it's the first time that it was played in the Mandalorian series. This is two seasons. They had never played anything from any other Star Wars theme. And this was the first time it was being played. And it was when Luke was coming in and he took his hood off. And I'm going to play it in a few minutes. But that just got me to thinking, because Jon Favreau says in the interview during this entire, I highly recommend checking that out. The making of Season 2 finale. It's actually part 2 of Disney's Gallery, Star Wars, The Mandalorian. I don't know if it just dropped today, but I just noticed it today. It's fairly new. They talk about how they kept Luke a secret, or, you know, having Luke in the final episode a secret. Spoilers if you didn't already know that and you haven't been watching The Mandalorian. But how they kept that a secret and everything. But there's this one small part, and like I said, it hit me right here in the heart, because, like, my eyes welled up when they started playing, you know, the theme from that, from Star Wars, A New Hope. And it just got me to thinking, and how important, and that was Favreau's point as well, how important that music is. And then it got me to thinking how important music is, how important sound is. And that's kind of where I'm coming up with this podcast for today, is this is all about, like, how I think that sound is the most important part of a movie. Spielberg said a long time ago, I've used the quote many times, it's 70% of your enjoyment of a movie, whether people realize it or not. And I've got some sound lined up here that we'll have some fun with, but my case here is, you can watch a movie and you can have the best picture, you can have the best TV, you can have an OLED or the best projector, and you can have all that. That looks great. But I'm going to tell you, if you have a 120-inch screen, you have a 150-inch screen, or like myself, a 110-inch screen, somebody walks in that room and they have no idea about home theater, they're going to be blown away by just the size alone, right? And after that, it's diminishing returns. So you're spending all of this money for smaller pixels and maybe some HDR and all of this, when really when you're starting out in home theater, just get a big screen, get blown away by that, but put your money where the sound is, because when sound starts moving around the room, that's exciting. That gets people going. But then there's that iconic stuff. Movies are so iconic because of the sound, to me. You can be walking through a room and you see a movie on the TV and you'll see it and you'll go, oh, okay, oh, that's a good movie. Great movie. All right, and you just keep on going. But when we get to the sounds, the clips that I have, when you hear these clips, wherever you are, you're in the car, you're at a friend's house, you're walking down the street and you could hear it playing from inside of a store, your head's turning. And not only is your head turning, you might even go into that store just to see what that is. Like, what? Is that a movie playing? What's going on in there? And then once you figure out what it is, you'll be like, I remember this movie from blum, blum, blum. Bam, I was doing this the first time I saw it. I did this. You'll have all of these memories come flooding back to you for these iconic sounds. You don't get that from a still image of a movie. You might get you'll see a poster of a movie and be like, oh, that was fun. I really like that. Or you'll see a still image on TV, or you'll be flipping the channels and you'll see a show and you'll be like, all right, I'll stay and watch this. But now you're actually into the movie. But what I'm saying is with the sound, so important. It registers so much more. And just as I'm sitting down to do this, just put my phone down, talking to my buddy Steve George on Twitter, at Legal Beagle, okay. We have a little back and forth because I did the movie Lucy in 4K like last year at some time. Blew me away. It is still one of my top five all-time Atmos movies because the bass is so incredible. This, that, and the other. I mean, that is a juggernaut of a movie for sound, beginning to end. Your room just explodes. Okay, take last week's movie, for instance. I told you all the way through that. I'm like, this isn't very good. You know, a Hurricane Heist, for those of you listening to years later, maybe. Hurricane Heist. It's not a very good movie, but the sound is so much fun. It's such an engaging thing. You're having a blast with it. Back to Lucy. I did that podcast, and Steve tweets at me and says, I didn't like this movie, but I'll give it another shot off of my recommendation, because the first time he watched it was on a phone. This is a man that has an incredible home theater, and he watched a movie on a phone and said, it wasn't very good. And he's right. On a phone, it isn't very good. Because the acting isn't that great. The stories, I was intrigued by the story, but it's a kind of unbelievable, kind of crazy. You know, Scarlett Johansson gets these special powers, whatever. Take it or leave it. But when you're watching it on the phone, you're not getting that sound. You're not getting that full engagement. Think of the word engagement, fully engaged. You're sitting in a room, and if you're surrounded by speakers, there's only one screen. It's in front of you. But to be fully engaged, you're being hit with sound from all around you. That's engagement. You're getting engaged from all, your head's turning, you're hearing sounds, you're looking, your eyes are moving, everything's going. But the image is still in front of you, but you're being engaged by this sound. And that's how important sound is. It took a movie like Lucy from, I don't really like it, to, wow, he even mentions it. Somebody asks him what's a great movie for bass or something. Lucy in 4K. Bam. And it's, sound is so important. And it's, we always think visually. And that is why I think sound is that important. It's, we don't even realize how important it is. We think it's picture. We think because we rely on our eyes so much. But when you sit back and you listen, and I've said this, I haven't said it in a while. I've watched a lot of these movies with my eyes closed to experience some of the stuff that's going on in the room. You close your eyes and you can hear different noises and you can locate them a little bit better because you're not listening with your eyes. You're not sitting there going, that sound came right from there where he clapped his hands. When in real life, no, it came from the center channel. And now with your eyes closed, maybe you can tell, or they mixed it appropriately and it does go to that spot. It's fun to do. I've been doing that since I had a 27-inch TV. And it was Dolby Pro Logic. It's just, that's how important sound is. So I'm going to put my headphones on. We're going to get into some of these scenes here, and we're going to have some fun. So let's do the first scene here. And this is the scene that Jon Favreau was talking about, and it's from the final episode of season 2 of The Mandalorian, where Luke takes the top of his robe off, or whatever, your cloak or whatever. He's fine. You see, that's who he is. And then they add in the song, the John Williams score from, I believe it is A New Hope. So listen to this. So this is the original score from The Mandalorian.
Are you a Jedi?
I am.
Isn't that just so cool how they just blended that in? And it just, you get all choked up. You're like, it's like you remember where you were when you were a kid. You remember that the final scene we're going to do today is going to be obviously a Star Wars scene. For those of you that know me and know this podcast, you know my favorite Star Wars scene. We'll get to that. But this, just how they blended that in, and I mean, the sounds of the lightsaber, we all know that, and just the score that goes with the Mandalorian, but then how they just blended that right in there. And as they were saying in the Disney's gallery, in the making of episode, they were saying how that sound actually adds to the reveal and adds to the believability of what they were trying to do in showing a young Luke Skywalker. So they went to great lengths to de-age Luke. And in the making of this episode here, or this episode, they show you how they did it and everything that they tried. But they were saying that, yeah, it's like even adding this music helps you to believe that that's actually a young Luke sitting there, because they add in that music from you know, the 70s for all intents and purposes. So that's what got me going here. And I was going, like I said, I was going to sit down and do Jackass, but a wise man once told me, it's your podcast. You do the podcast you want to do. And I'm super excited to do this. I'm having so much. I love sound. So let's have some fun and we'll listen to some themes. Obviously, we'll get the obvious ones out of the way. I mean, we all know that, right? Star Wars, bam, you know that. And here's another one. Pretty cool. But what I thought was cool is right at the very beginning, if you listen to the very beginning, up until you actually hear the burner, you don't know what that is. It takes a few seconds. But this next one, it takes about 30 seconds before you get to the real main part, but you should know this one it is iconic. So that, I mean, we know that beat. That beat plays throughout the movies. Do you know what it is yet? Do you know what it is yet? Let me end this one too. Why isn't that playing? Oh, there we go. All right. So now this one, again, back to the one that I was just playing. So this goes on like this for 30 seconds. But this plays out throughout the movie as the Terminator is chasing people, is doing whatever. So this is from the Terminator. But then when you get to like the 30 second mark right here, now we get to that theme. And we all know that, because that plays out into Terminator 2 and so forth. But I thought what was cool about that one is that first 30 seconds is basically throughout the entire movie. during chase scenes in Terminator 2. It's like, it's the repetitiveness of them driving on the road, and you know where Linda Hamilton's doing the voiceover for Sarah Connor, like, oh, our future, are this and that. And she's doing her little monologue, but it's that dun 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 dun. And it's very similar to the noise of driving down the road and the repetitiveness of going over those concrete lines. I thought that was pretty cool. But that's how that the scene, that sound, just, it's super iconic to me. Maybe not to you. This one here, this one takes about 20 seconds, and I'm going to let it play out and see if you know what it is before we get to the part where everybody on the planet knows what this is. So everybody knows that's 2001, you know, Space Odyssey. But that opening part, do you know that that's 2001 Space Odyssey? And when you're watching the movie, you probably will notice that you'll hear that. That's almost like what it's like being on the ship. And it's that repetitive, that just hum of being there. So that's one of those things. Like when I started playing that one, I'm like, I know this from the movie. When I just looked up, because I knew I the 2001 Space Odyssey sound, that's iconic. But that opening part I thought was very interesting, how that leads into, like, just plays throughout the movie. It really puts you in that place. This next one, this one wastes no time. You know this song. Or theme. Come on. And what I thought was really interesting about that is, obviously, that is super iconic. I don't care where you are. That was one I was thinking of when you're walking down the street and you hear the noise into a store. If you heard that playing, you'd be like, you'd start looking around. That's how powerful sound is. And what I thought was interesting about that is, we all know, like, Star Wars, Jaws and stuff were done by John Williams, Jurassic Park. Not how important sound is. It's not an accident that Spielberg and Lucas, they keep using John Williams because they know how important the sound is and they want great sound. And I think it was during the making of Jurassic Park that John Williams was saying that, I think it was this, I just saw it recently, and he's like, I don't know if I can do this. You need somebody really good. Spielberg wanted him for a project. And I think it was Jurassic Park. Maybe it was Indiana Jones. Either one, whatever it was. John Williams said, I don't know if I'm good enough for this. And he's like, you need somebody better. And Spielberg's response to him was, yeah, but unfortunately, they're all dead. So he's like, you're the best one alive to do this. And I thought that was a pretty funny way to compliment him. Like, yeah, there are better people, but they're all dead. So you're up. But that's how powerful that. And like I said, Spielberg was the one that made that quote years and years ago. And I've used it ever since I heard him say it or read that he said it, whatever the case. But that's how important that is. That's why they keep using him over and over. But what I thought was interesting about the Halloween theme is that was written by John Carpenter himself. So, like, he thought it was that important that he wrote that iconic sound that no matter where you are, it sends chills down your spine. And like I said, you'd be walking down the street, and if somebody's playing that in a window, especially if it's not October, that's like, you know, June 15th, and you're walking down the street, and all of a sudden you hear that, and you're like, what? You're looking around, where's that coming from? That's iconic. That's powerful. That's how powerful, you know, sound can be. Let's listen to this next one. This one here, You'll the first 5 seconds, you might not know. The second five, after 5 seconds, you'll probably know. If you don't know by then, you'll definitely know at 15 seconds. Where were you in the 80s? So that's Top Gun. And I knew it right away. You play it at the beginning. Obviously, I'm looking these up, so I knew it right away. My wife didn't know that one until probably the 15-second mark. She got it. But I've seen this movie so many times. I'm sure if you're watching or listening to this podcast, you've seen this movie so many times. I mean, you're on the deck of an aircraft carrier, you're Tom Cruise and you're checking your rigging, or it's at the opening scene and it goes right into danger zone, but it's iconic. And that, I mean, just that quick 20 seconds I play for you and you start remembering the entire movie. It's just that much fun. It's just that powerful. Here's another one. Little repetitive right there. I paused it for a second, but little repetitive, but I mean, come on, listen to it go. Do you want to get up and run yet? I hope you know it. Chariots of Fire. Fantastic. And it's like, I mean, you remember that. It makes you want to get up and run across the room. Run, go. It makes me want to get out and run, period. Just iconic scenes. Iconic sounds, I should say. Now, the last thing I wanted to do was my favorite scene pretty much in Star Wars. So it's this iconic scene to me. Because it's the scene, the first time I had ever heard a lightsaber. Now, for a lot of people, they may, you know, if you're younger, you probably started on a different movie. But if you're the first time you saw a movie, if it was A New Hope, this is the first time a lightsaber is lit. So we'll play the scene once.
What is it? Your father's lightsaber. This is the weapon of a Jedi Knight. Not as clumsy or random as a blaster. An elegant weapon for a more civilized age. For over 1,000 generations, the Jedi Knights were the guardians of peace and justice in the Old Republic. Before the Dark Times. Before the Empire.
So obviously we have the lightsaber being lit, which I absolutely love. That's all I need to hear. And it takes me back. That is iconic. But listen at the very beginning of this scene to the stuff that's going on in the background.
What is it?
So right before he says, what is it? Listen to the little sounds that you hear, the like,
what is it?
So you hear a hum and you hear some beeping going on, and not R2 that you heard right after he says, what is it? But if you listen to that scene, listen to it in your theater, turn it up reference level and listen to that scene and realize you're in like a mud hut in the middle of a desert where it looks like there should be no electricity, but clearly they have electricity. And he has generators or whatever, because there's all sorts of lights and everything. But listen to the sounds around your room, because I've watched this scene so many times. Every edition that I get that's new, every time I get a new piece of equipment, I have to watch this movie again. I'll watch this scene. But just listen to all of the ambient sounds that are around your room, enveloping you, putting you there, putting you in that room. And it's not just the lightsaber that's being lit. It's just, it's everything around the room. Of course, we have dialogue. Super important, because you want to hear people. You want to hear the lines. But it's all the other stuff that's going on around you. And in this scene in particular, listen to all of the other stuff that's going on around the room that puts you there instead of just, you know, the lightsaber and the dialogue, but everything else that actually envelops you into that room. And here in a podcast, an audio only podcast, I mean, you can watch me on YouTube, but it's just me and my hands waving in the air. So you're not even seeing the images, but you still feel like you're there.
What is it?
Your father's lightsaber. This is the weapon of a Jedi Knight. Not as clumsy or random as a blaster. An elegant weapon for a more civilized age. For over 1,000 generations, the Jedi Knights were the guardians of peace and justice in the Old Republic. Before the Dark Times. Before the Empire.
Awesome. And, I mean, think about it for a second that, like, everything that I'm talking about here is just iconic sounds. The fun, the sounds that you take away when you walk out of the room, when you walk out of the theater, the enjoyment that you get from just to take with you. This has nothing to do. I'm not even talking about how the sounds move around the room, which we love to talk about. That's what I talk about on a weekly basis. That's what I love to talk about with you guys. I love a great pan. Everybody knows that. Sound moving left to right, front to rear, back to front, overheads. All of that stuff is great. And you'll talk about that stuff. And you'll be like, oh, this movie has that bubble. But try to remember exact moments. And it's like, all right, I've got District 9 and when the engine shut off, all right? Or the opening of Lucy. But off the top of your head, tell me a great overhead scene. Just off the top of your head. Somebody will be like, unless you're like Rob from AV Rant that can remember anything whenever. I'm not that guy. But most people aren't either. But you do remember the sounds from a movie. You do remember, like, if I played any of these and I quizzed you, you'd probably know what they were like that, right? You know the sound of a lightsaber. Doesn't matter that it's moving around the room or when Luke's moving it, it pans from the left speaker to the center speaker and then over to the right. That doesn't matter. It's the sound. And that's why when you're building your theater, you should be focusing on sound. You should get great speakers or as good of speakers as you can get to start out and then build around that. Upgrade your receiver when the technology allows or the budget allows. Upgrade to more speakers when the budget allows. Upgrade your picture gradually because a big picture is probably just good enough to blow you away with, I'm in a theater, a great picture, wow. But that sound, that's what's important. That's what you're going to take away. You know, it's like, go try to explain HDR to somebody out on the street. They don't care. But if you play, they know that. And they're scared. HDR, they're scared because they have no idea what you're talking about. You know, but it's, I mean, people don't even want to go back in the ocean because of this one. You know? And it's like, that's the stuff that movies are made of. Woo, look at what I just did there. That's the stuff that got us to build our theaters in the first place. The idea, when I was a kid, the idea that I could own a projector someday and have a big picture. That's awesome. But I just wanted a big picture. All of this new stuff. I mean, that I didn't even know. We didn't know what HDR was, but we knew what good sound was. So when you're building your theater, focus on sound first, because the sound is the most important part. If you don't agree with me, hit me up on Twitter. Let me know. But that's all I have on that. I could go on all day long about sound. I'm actually losing my voice. If you've been watching on YouTube, you see me hitting the cough button while I'm playing some clips. It's not easy, but super excited to talk about this one because Jon Favreau hit me in the chest. I was crying. I'm not crying. I got tears in my eyes at the time. He did too during the making of it. But all of these things are fantastic. And, you know, I love sound. Let me know on Twitter. Let me know on email me, whatever. But let's get to the rest of the podcast. And now that I had the chance to get a sip of water and clear my throat, that was a little rough. And, I don't need my headphones anymore. Here we go. All right. So let's get to the rest of the podcast. Like I just said, thank you to my 14 patrons. Let's start right there. 14 patrons. Thank you very much. You really help support this podcast. Lot goes into this. I say that every week. It's like, I'm always getting stuff, upgrading stuff. And it's awesome just to have you guys. Thank you very much. If you'd like to join the 14 patrons, you can go to patreon.com/brightsidehometheater and click to join. Or you could just go to the website, Brightside Home Theater, and there's a big red button and you click on that to join Patreon, and you can donate monthly. Once a month, they'll take some money from you, whatever you decide is minimums a dollar, and all the way up to whatever you'd like. And all money, believe me, goes right into the podcast. So I don't need it. I don't require it. I just really appreciate it. So if you'd like to join that, thank you very much. You can also go to TeePublic and support the podcast. That's the fun way. This t-shirt here, I've got one of the t-shirts on right now. And, this is one of the, I think this is my Terminator edition t-shirt, but you can go to tpublic.com, Brightside Home Theater, and you can look cool while supporting the podcast and promote the podcast when you're out and about and people go, oh, you have a home theater? So I've had people ask me. So, and then the other way, the most popular way is through Twitter. You can join me on Twitter, follow me there, and we have two new followers this week. We have, let me see who we got here. We have Mark and Fabricio Jimenez joined us on Twitter this week. Thanks for joining up, joining the conversation. Bring me whatever you'd like. Join the conversation. Still working on the Discord thing. Actually, I didn't do anything about it this week. I'm going to get together with my future son-in-law, hopefully this week, and we'll talk about it because he's going to help me run it and set it up. But hopefully we can funnel everything through there and we'll see what happens. But for right now, Twitter is the place to be. Actually, speaking of that, everybody says Twitter's a cesspool. And there was an incident this week. Steve George had a follower drop him because he says he, and that's why we, I mentioned it earlier. That's why he said, I made the joke about him and watching something on his phone. But anyways, somebody dropped him as a Twitter follower because they decided they didn't like the idea that he said, I'd rather watch a movie in my home than go to a theater. And we can debate that back and forth. I've said I prefer it in my home now as well. I like the crowds at the theaters, but there are no crowds, so I'll just stay home and watch it if I can. But anyways, the point is, when somebody drops you, it used to bother me, and I'd see my numbers tick down or something. I'd be like, oh, what did I do? I made somebody. No, let them go, because you don't need that. We don't need that. You don't want to follow me? You don't want to follow me? That's fine. Don't follow me. That's the best thing. It's don't argue with me. Don't tell me my opinion's wrong. Just don't follow me. So that's actually a nice thing to do. If you don't agree with somebody, just don't follow them. No need to get up in their face and start yelling at them like happens on Twitter. People love to do that. But anyways, trying to look at the bright side of that, Steve. So let them go. Let them go. All right, let's get to this week's tweets and stuff. And let's see what people have been saying. And first up, we have Mark V says, at Brightside HT, yo, DJ, I really wish you would do more horror movies. Recently, I told a friend that The Conjuring 3 actually scared me a couple of times. He laughed at me saying it didn't scare him. He was watching on a tiny TV with TV speakers. Of course it didn't scare him. LOL. Doesn't that play into exactly what this week's podcast is about? And honestly, I forgot about, I have that tweet in my notes. I forgot I was going to mention that tweet when I even thought of doing this podcast. Otherwise, I would have mentioned it back when I was talking about the sounds and everything. But yeah, if you're watching on a little, you're not getting the full environment of a horror movie where the sound is so important, like Halloween. It's like all of the sound and the way the sound works in a movie, it's just as important for when there is no sound, because they'll build up scenes. And I've talked about it here many times with different scenes where they'll build up an entire scene with loud, obnoxious sound or sounds moving around the room just to get you fully engaged, only to suck all of that sound out of the room. And now you're on the edge of your seat and there's nothing, absolutely nothing. And then you'll hear a creak over on one side of the room or something. That's your up and down. That's like, you can't have a negative without a positive. You can't have loud without quiet. And they're using that to manipulate your emotions throughout a movie. And if you're watching this on a little TV with little TV speakers, even if you're watching it on a big TV with little TV speakers, you're not getting that environment. You're not getting that big jump scare. Most of the jump scares, think how many jump scares have there been? Think about it. That with no sound involved, like somebody just comes on the screen and goes, and I just flashed on YouTube, my hands like, boo. But with no sound, it means nothing, right? You don't get a jump. So another reason why it's so important for me to do this podcast this week about sound. But anyways, to the point that Mark made about me doing more horror movies, I'm going to let you guys in on a little secret I don't think I've told in almost my 2 years of doing this podcast. I don't like horror movies. I'm not a fan of them. I'm not a fan of, and it's not that I'm afraid of them. I usually sit there going, yeah, okay. All right, I'm supposed to be scared, but I know, like, this is all fake. And it's, my wife loves them. So that's why I get to see them. That's why we'll go and see them, because she gets scared and she does the jumps. And don't get me wrong, I do get scared. I'll get a jump scene. I mean, I'm playing along. I'm in the movie, like Aliens. My son and I love that when you have the, or is it Alien or whatever, but the jump scene. I did that last year for Halloween. And that's why I kind of focused my horror movies towards Halloween, and I'll do them during October. But you're right. I should do them. I should do a few of them a year during the year. And I said that to Mark. I'm like, I'll do a few of them because my wife does like them. I did Invisible Man in the middle of the year last year, and I didn't like it at first, but then I was corrected. And now I love it. It is one of my favorite movies. I don't consider that a horror movie, though. But yeah, like growing up, I'm like Texas Chainsaw Massacre. I did like Nightmare on Elm Street. I really liked that series. I liked Freddy. I liked the whole idea of I actually went as Freddy in high school to one of our school a Halloween dance. And I went up to, speaking of Freddie, I went up to my local mortician, I guess, funeral home. And I went to school with his son, and I walked in and I was like, oh, hey, I was like, Mr. Orteri, I'm like, do you have any of the makeup that you use? And I told him what I wanted to do. So he gave me this huge tub of this wax that they used for your face and everything to make you look good, build up your cheeks. And I melted it all over my head. So I was literally Freddy. So I melted it all over my head. I had all of that all over me. And then I took some red paint and I rubbed it in. So I had the whole, I mean, I looked like Freddy, put the hat on and made the glove, did the whole thing, made the glove out of cardboard, but put pieces of wire so that I could just scratch on glass and you'd hear the noise. It was a lot of fun. People were petrified of me walking around. I don't think any girls danced with me that night. People were petrified of me. It was a good time, really good time. But I liked that. But like Halloween, I liked Halloween because of what it is. But it's not like I sit there and go, wow, this is scary. So I'm not a big horror fan. But I will do them. And I do have fun watching them with my wife because she gets scared out of her mind. So can't go wrong there. All right, let's see what we have next. And we'll go with an email from G. Cornell. And he was just commenting on Hurricane Heist and that he may have mentioned it to me a few months ago as a suggestion. And I said, you probably did. I'm very sorry I didn't mention you, but I get a lot of requests on movies to do, and sometimes, you know, like I said before, it's like, it's when I get inspired, and it's like, unless I do it right then, I don't actually keep notes on who says what, but yeah, just call it out, shout it out. Let me know if you're the one that told me about Hurricane Heist. Maybe somebody else did too, or any movie I do, say, hey, I mentioned that a couple months ago. Let me know. I'll give you the credit, because maybe that's where it was in my subconscious. So thanks, G. Cornell. Appreciate that. And speaking of Hurricane Heist, we have a couple of more from Mark V, a couple of more tweets to get to here, and I'm putting them all together. But before we get to those, thank you to everybody that tweeted me and emailed me. That's most of my emails this week were, how are you doing in the hurricane? How is this? How is that? And thank you very much. Everybody's checking in on me, seeing how everything was going in preparation for the hurricane, and then how everything went after the hurricane. And it was a dud. The hurricane was a dud. I was all prepped and ready. My house was plugged in. My generator was prepped. I cleaned up the yard. I cleaned up, put all the lawn furniture away, all the prep that you do. And I've had worse storms come through this summer. It was kind of like, you know, I guess it's better to be prepared than to just be like, it's going to be a dud and watch all your crap blow away. So, I mean, like I said before, I enjoy this stuff. My wife and I actually recorded a quick podcast on Sunday morning during the hurricane just to say, hey, you know, like, hey, this is what's going out. And I was going to publish it, but then it just in case we lost power, and I've lost power here for 6-7 days. So I didn't want anything to not go out. So I was all ready to get it out, and it would be out actually, even if I had no power come Friday. So anyways, but I don't need to do that because it was a dud. So I'm doing this, and that's my wife and I watch Jackass while during the hurricane. We're like, oh, if we lose power, I've got battery backup just on the theater. So we would have been okay. But well, hey, it was a dud. Everybody, thank you. It's actually pretty humbling, you know, when doing this and all of the people checking on you. I really appreciate it. But it was a dud, and hopefully there'll be a big one someday. Maybe we'll get a blizzard this winter. Who knows? I don't know. I know people, they're bad, but I enjoy them. So, all right. So anyways, getting to Hurricane Heist, last week we had a giveaway and Mark V actually participated. He says, at Brightside HT, pretty sure someone else already tweeted this, but quote, life isn't about waiting for the storm to pass. It's about learning to dance in the rain, end quote. Funny thing is, I already bought the movie before finishing the pod, LOL. So thanks, Mark. That's awesome compliment right there that, you know, people are buying these movies while I'm talking about them on my recommendation. I hope you guys have appreciated, you know, I hope I haven't made you angry and you've bought something and been like, he was all wrong. And if you are, let me know. I mean, it won't change my opinion, but I don't mind a disagreement here and there. But anyways, so at the end of last week's podcast, I wasn't done. So if you listened all the way through to the end and the end quote credits, where I say, hey, Fred, if you listen past that, I actually had a little bit more to say, and I did a giveaway, and Mark participated in it. And believe it or not, there's still one more giveaway out there, but I'm not going to tell you about it. You got to go and find it. So, yeah, so he participated in it. It was to send you a 4K Blu-ray of the movie and of Hurricane Heist. And Mark said he already bought it, so I sent him a gift card, an Amazon gift card. So that all worked out. If you've already owned the movie, I'll reimburse you. So that was pretty cool. Thank you for listening all the way through. I think he said he was like doing his lawn or something. And if you like, when you listen to something, you let it play through so you get to the next one in your queue. That's how he ended up there. And that's how I listen through sometimes too. I know AV Rant does, you know, end credit scenes and stuff. So every now and then I do giveaways. I've actually done a few in the past that nobody's replied to. So sometimes that kind of hurts my feelings. People aren't listening, but oh well, I'm just kidding. But yeah, so they're out there. There's a few giveaways out there, and it's usually the first person to say something. And if you're the first person to say it, then I, guess what? I don't care if it's a year later. You're the first person. So who knows? Maybe there'll be one. There's not going to be one for this week. So you don't have to listen past the end credits this week. I had no idea what am I going to give away? A sound system? I'm talking about sound this week. And no, I'm not giving away a sound system. So anyways, thank you, Mark. I really appreciate that for listening past what you should have to listen to. And what else do we got? Oh, yeah, movies and scenes. And we'll wrap up with movies and scenes. And the first one we have is Val, brought to us by WV Brew on Twitter. And he says, at Brightside HT, documentary on life of Val Kilmer, so open and real. He has no voice or looks, but has not lost his love of the craft of theater and filmmaking. Just watch it. Yeah, I really want to see this one. My wife and I want to watch this one too. And I do want to watch it in the theater. It doesn't sound like it's a documentary. It doesn't sound like it's a home theater movie, but I love Val Kilmer. I love like all of his movies, you know, one for each is, if you don't know the quote for that, what that quote that comes from, well, too bad. Excuse me. Sorry about that. So, yeah, we have that one. And then the other one also came from WV, and he was talking about episode 2 of What If. And I was actually, I already had it. I wanted to talk about What If this week because What If on Disney Plus, it's on Marvel. Oh, and speaking of which, I think, is Val on Amazon? Did he say it? Did he say it in the email, in the tweet? I can't remember if I said that or not. I'm pretty sure that's on Amazon. So you can check Val out over there, but What If obviously is on Disney Plus, and I wanted to talk about it because the sound in it is so good, and it took me 2 episodes to figure out that it actually is in Atmos, because when I call it up on my screen, it's telling me it's only in 5.1 and it's connected to my Atmos system. So that should trigger the banner to say Atmos, but it's not, because I know if you're not connected to an Atmos system, it'll just tell you what, you know, most of the time the Apple TV will just tell you what you can get. But yeah, so the opening credits, the opening with the Marvel credit scene sounds fantastic. The voiceover, everything sounds awesome. Then there's some really nice pans. There's some nice sound throughout the episodes. And, it, you know, it's an animated series. It is in 4K as well. But I'm not a big fan of 4K animation because I don't know how much more you can improve that. But it's not that I'm against it, and I'm not saying that, but it's not like I'm like, definitely check this out for the 4K. It's animation, and the animation is gorgeous, but the sound is really good. On my Apple TV, it's telling me it's 5.1, but then when I play it, it does come out in Atmos, and it sounds fantastic. Looking forward to this week's episode. The second episode, talking about T'Challa becoming Star-Lord, really, really good. And it is. I already talked about this on my other podcast with John, and I thought it was a great tribute to Chadwick Boseman because of how they did it. And like my buddy John said, it was like, did they write it that way? Because he, you know, recorded the voice for this before he died. So they had the idea in mind. But when you're watching this, it really, it just such an, like, a tribute to Chadwick Boseman, because the way they portray T'Challa in that, how important he is to the MCU and how great he was and what a great person, that if he becomes Star-Lord, he literally changes the galaxy. So if you haven't seen that episode, check it out. It's really cool. Right from the opening scene, it's complete opposite of Chris Pratt's Star-Lord. It's pretty funny, but it's really, really good. And like WV said, it's a great tribute to Chadwick Boseman. So definitely check that out for that reason, but also check it out for the sound is fantastic, and it is in Atmos. So definitely check that out. And that'll do it for this week. That I'm excited. I'm excited for next week. I have something special. Hopefully it pans out. We're going to have a good time there. But thank you to my 14 patrons. Thank you to all of my Twitter followers. Thank you to everybody for listening. Thank you so much for listening this far. There is nothing after the end. I'll tell you that this week. But in the future and in the past, check them out. Maybe there's some giveaways hidden in there, little Easter eggs in there somewhere. I like to do that because I really appreciate you guys, and I like to have little surprises for you. So till next week, have a great time, and go push play. Hey, Fred.
This has been a Hey Fred production with theme music by Jeff Bernhardt and Throne Vault Productions.